Hello, welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat with Brent Kuhlman and myself, Scott Porath, two Lutheran pastors daring to be Lutheran. We welcome you to Table Talk. We welcome you to our study of St. Matthew's Gospel. We're in the 19th chapter. And Brent, last time we were talking a little bit about Jesus' teachings about marriage and divorce.
Right.
But the teaching isn't quite done yet.
Well, it's shocking.
It raises more questions.
Well, you know, if you're a loopholer.
What do you mean a loopholer?
If you're always looking for loopholes. You know, Jesus in Matthew 19 says, you know, haven't you read that from the beginning created the male and female, and for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And then Jesus puts his own divine commentary on the Genesis text and says, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Well, if you're a loopholer and you think you have better words than Jesus, that's scandalous and shocking. And guess what? All of us think we have better words than Jesus on that one. He takes us to the beginning, to the very good of creation, in which God institutes holy marriage in the family. And we say, no, thank you. I'll have family my way. I'll have marriage my way. And I'll do whatever I want. Thank you very much. This is one of the reasons why the preaching of God's word is so scandalous and dicey all the time, because everybody, including me and you, our old Adams, all say, yeah, but. And then we speak, and then we preach, and it always contradicts what Jesus says. Now, what's Jesus doing here? He's trying to show people what God's will is with regard to holy marriage. And there are other things that he'll talk about, too, with property and other things, too.
Sinful man's trying to run away from what God has ordered, instituted, given, and Jesus just keeps bringing them back.
That's right, and again in Matthew's gospel, keep in mind that since the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven has come in Christ Jesus, and that Jesus reigns among his sinners as the Savior of sinners, then he has for himself a church, and the church lives according to the word of God, just like Jesus did, you know, when he was tempted by Satan. Man will live by God's word alone. Now, that's the bread. So here again, the church must learn from our Lord's sermons and teaching here in Matthew's gospel of what it means to be light, going back to the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. Salt. Again, because we live in a world that wants to loophole everything or eliminate these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be under the gun here. We've talked about this before with regard to marriage. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. That's God's will. This is how he's instituted it. And I use that word on purpose, instituted. There is an institution. It's called holy marriage, and it's a divine one.
It's a divine one. That's important. It's not human. It's not of man. Man who institutes, he can recreate what he institutes, if you will. But this is from God.
Yeah. And the church is under tremendous pressure right now all over the world to contradict the Lord's goodwill given to us through his word and the very good of creation. But yeah, this is scandalous.
And one of the great temptations is going to be that, you know, when the governing authorities recreate marriage in their own eyes, will the church go along with that or not?
I won't.
And that will be a great temptation for many.
Yeah, I won't. And I know you won't either. And God willing, neither will our church body, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. I'm very thankful for that. I think we'll confess the truth. And we'll suffer. Be prepared to suffer, folks. I mean, keep in mind, Matthew's gospel, you want to be my disciple? You got to deny yourself and take up your cross, and you got to follow me. What we haven't encountered, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but I don't think, generally speaking, we in the church in America have no clue about what Jesus means there. Not a clue. I think most preachers don't know how to preach that text, and most people don't know how to hear it.
Oh, no. Well, and then live it.
Yeah, and I'm one of them.
You know, dying to self is not our cup of tea.
It isn't mine. But to suffer for confessing Christ and confessing his word, we don't have a clue.
Right.
But I think it's starting to happen in the United States.
Well, that's been one of the blessings, if you will, of living in this country and the religious freedom that we have had up to this point. But now there begins to be enmity.
Yeah, and I hope the Lord has, and believe me, I'm not a Puritan.
Right.
And don't accuse me. If you're listening to this, I'm not a Puritan. I'm not a utopian in that sense. I know.
Hashtag Brent the Puritan.
You know, but I pray and I hope that the Lord will have some good use for the United States of America and for the church in the United States of America to be a blessing for the people who not only live here, but all over the world. And God, remember, let's keep that in mind, that God uses his creatures to take care of his creatures. Let's never forget that. Now, we said that our Lord's words here in Matthew 19, 1-9 are extremely scandalous. And of course they are. The disciples are absolutely shocked by what Jesus says in those verses. And why is that? It's because marriage has obligations. And the denial of the self and service to others, as we just hinted at, right, is extremely scandalous. Absolutely scandalous. And so the disciples come up with their own sermon. And they say, well, if such is the case, Jesus, if such is the case of a man with his wife, well, it's better not to marry at all then. Now, you notice here how I'm putting the worst construction on it. They're going to preach their own sermon now. So, okay, I guess I won't get married then.
Well, if what you say is true, then here, this is true too.
Well, that's just another way in which the old Adam wants to have his way and not the Lord's. That's what I would contend the disciples in their question here. But the Lord, you remember, he's just said that marriage between a man and a woman is part and parcel with God's very good from the beginning stuff. And so it's very good to get married and to have a family. So here I go again with my own commentary, these silly disciples. It's like the Trix commercial, the breakfast food commercial.
Running away from the gift that God has given.
Yeah.
Despising the gift.
Yeah. Now there's interesting words here. Jesus says then, verse 11, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it's been given. There are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this, or one who is able to receive it, receive it. I didn't say that very well, pardon me.
Well, once again, it has to do with the Lord's gift, doesn't it? Has the Lord given you to be a eunuch?
Well, and most people are saying, what's that? Seriously, you can't take that for granted. Nobody reads the Bible.
Well, that's true.
I'm again, Kuhlman, over-exaggerating to make the point. But I think it's generally true that most people don't read the Scriptures. And I think it's probably safe to say that most of the people that we deal with as pastors can't read very well. And don't read hardly at all. Now, there are exceptions, of course, but you know what I'm talking about. You have a Bible class and you ask somebody to read, and they don't read very well. And they say they don't know vocabulary. What's a eunuch? This is a person who's been castrated. Castrated. So Jesus, here, he speaks of those who, because of physical or other reasons, they actually can lead a single life. And you've probably got some of those people in your congregation. They're not eunuchs, but they're single people.
Right.
Okay. So Jesus here speaks of eunuchs in a threefold sense. One, men who are born, for lack of better terminology, with feeble sexuality. Two, they're castrated. Three, men who just simply have the willpower to not get married for the sake of the kingdom. That's the third thing that he lists. That is, those who are able to devote all their time and energy to the service of God, like St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 6.
So once again, in the context of marriage here, and this is where Jesus, you know, when they ask the question, this is where Jesus goes. He goes to the very good gift of marriage. This is how God has ordered us to live. You know, you shouldn't try to live apart from God's order unless he has given that to you. He has enabled you to do that.
Yeah, and Jesus lists those.
Right. Right.
Now, children, verse 13.
Children. Oh, this has got to get to be even more scandalous.
Yeah, because they're do-nothings.
I mean, if you have marriage and you have people being fruitful and multiplying, now you've got children. Oh, my. What were you thinking, God?
Yeah, what an idiot. It reminds me, I'm preparing for my sermon, you know, this Sunday, and, you know, I'm going to preach from the epistle, which is 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 25. And, you know, there's these words called foolishness and scandal. And this is the way the preacher preaches. He preaches foolishness and scandalous things. I mean, we wouldn't put up with that today, would we? Would we?
Is this going to be the last sermon you ever preach at Trinity Murdoch?
I'm always 1 week away from the unemployment line. But verse 13, children are brought to Jesus. And notice, so that he may lay his hands on them and pray. which would be, of course, to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And notice what the disciples do. And we've heard this verb before. Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him, you know, when Jesus said, I'll suffer, die, and rise again. The disciples rebuked the people. Holy smokes. It's like the disciples are the bouncers of our Lord Jesus Christ. They keep people away, if you will.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the term, you know. You have your person that gives access to the media or doesn't, and gives that, you know, your controller, whatever.
Yeah, they're like the agents of our Lord.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm always...
The handlers.
But yeah, that's a good term. I'm always thinking about bar terms, you know, so bouncers.
Well, they
concerts.
They handle as well.
But they rebuke the people, and it's interesting. It's as if they're saying, keep the kids away from Jesus. He's got more important things to do, and he's got more important people to see and take care of than these children. Now, if you believe that, you're going to get rebuked. And that's precisely what happens. Jesus says to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he lays his hands on them and then he goes away. Now, this is delicious.
You know, Brent, just to go back to the language we were using earlier, we got all kinds of loopholing going on. I mean, if you go back to chapter 16 and Peter's confession of the Christ and then Christ confesses what it means to be the Christ, that he must be rejected, suffer, die, and be raised to life again. Peter won't have that. And there's the rebuking that goes on. In other words, Peter wants a different way than the Lord's way. And then in chapter 18, you know, Peter's looking for loopholes again. How many times do I have to forgive my brother? And Jesus takes him aside with the parable of the unmerciful servant.
Mm-hmm.
And then also again here, people want Jesus to pray, to lay hands on, to bless their children. And Peter's looking for a different way.
Yeah, not just Peter, but all the disciples.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you're right.
Sorry to pile on Peter. He just always steps
out
in front.
He speaks for all of them anyway, all the time.
But indeed, the disciples, you know, they are rebuking the people for this.
Can
you imagine? Not this way, but this is the Lord's way, isn't it?
Yeah, so yeah, back to your referencing the earlier chapters. The disciples, again, have the things of men in mind and not the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to call everybody's attention to the verb here in verse 14, do not hinder them, or some translations, do not prevent them. Get your concordances out, and you can do this on your own, but I'll just simply reference you to the book of Acts. This is the same verb that is in the book of Acts when the Ethiopian is baptized by Philip. So what should hinder me from being baptized, or what should prevent me from being baptized? And there are other verses in the book of Acts with this same verb associated with baptism. So if you've ever wondered, when you've been to a service in the Lutheran church and you've got a baptism that happens, guess what text is always read as the Holy Gospel for the baptismal service? This one,
mm-hmm.
or the parallel in Mark's Gospel. And people think, what's this got to do with it? I mean, why in the world would they read this text at a baptism for a little kid?
Jesus isn't baptizing these little children.
But notice what he says.
Right.
Don't hinder them. Why? Because... And I'm going to paraphrase it now. I've come for them too. They're sinners just like all the rest of you adults, and I'm the Savior of sinners. Would you dare keep a sinner away from me? If you would, you're in deep kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare do that. Now, I think this speaks volumes for us as the church. We had better preach both law and gospel with regard to this, depending on the people's situation. Right? If we've got people who want to be the disciples and keep children away from Jesus, and this context is baptism with that verb,
sure,
then we have got to speak a word of law and say, how dare you? How shameful to keep people away from Jesus. And think about this. We now live in a culture, and I think we got a break, don't we? Well, I want to pick this up after the break, okay?
Okay.
Let me get my stuff ready so I can take a break.
Okay. So we're going to come back to Jesus blessing the little children. The preventing of them entering into the kingdom of God. More to chew on after the break.